Last week we talked about Pentecost and about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And this week we're going to talk about how to go about being filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And we need that. Just like you need to drink water every day, you need to drink the living water of God. You need to drink the Holy Spirit every day. You need to get up to that faucet and turn it on. But to do this, I want us to understand something. I want us to understand physics this morning. Yes, I'm going to teach you physics. Physics 101 is this. Two objects cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Is that complicated or what? How many of you know that? The two objects cannot occupy the same space at the same time. I cannot occupy my place in the bathroom when I'm shaving with our big dog. He wants to occupy that space, but we cannot do it. Either he has to leave or I have to leave. And it's that way with everything. It's that thing, that way in our spiritual lives. You know, Ann Pearl Adkins, who planted many churches, in fact, her church planting in the Midwest is responsible for this church being here, because she planted and helped plant Rapid City and all kinds of different churches. Anyway, her and Beth Moore, they talk about the same thing with this. Two objects can't fill the same spot. Two conflicting thoughts, two conflicting beliefs, two conflicting spirits cannot occupy the same spot. And a lot of times when we get into the spiritual realm, people start thinking non-concrete. They start thinking like spiritual, ooh, you know, ghosts, ooh, paranormal, ooh, television, ooh, they're wrong. It's not like that. You see, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one, created everything that we know and see, and they created everything that we don't know and see. And so God is more of a reality than we are. He is in every dimension of creation. We are not. We're only in one dimension, okay? He is in every dimension of creation. So we need to start thinking about God as a concrete object, the Holy Spirit as a concrete object, a person, because He is a person. All through the Bible talks about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit as people, as beings who exist. They exist in our realm. We don't see them, but they exist. They are more real than we are. We need to get that locked into our brain so that our faith can grow. You see, the Holy Spirit and the flesh competing for the same space, it's like two radio channels broadcasting on the same frequency. You know what, we have our little FM transmitter, and Steve, he was listening to it. I left it on here a few weeks ago, and Steve got clear out the El Zeta Ridge and Cutoff, and we were still broadcasting on the rock, 104.7 or whatever it is. But if I was to turn that over and try to broadcast that on the same frequency as the breeze, all you'd get is... And when, okay, you have the flesh and the spirit in your mind, in your being at the same time, you get, and then you do dumb things, right? I mean, if you want to do dumb things, just start listening to your flesh while you think you're listening to the spirit, and then, you know, we need to know who's in charge, right? So how do we fill up every day? There's three things over the next 3 weeks that we're going to look at on how to fill up. The first one this week, we're going to look at slow down. Slow down. Well, last 2 months, we've had a pretty good idea of what slow down looks like. You know, we should have used it. Some of us did. We used it very constructively. Some people did. The second thing, not only do you need to slow down, you need to surrender up. Everybody put your hands up like this. What's surrender up? Surrender up is stop and praise God. Cindy is talking about, okay, that we need to give thanks in all things and for all things. A lot of times we say, well, I can give thanks to God in all things but not for all things. Well, if God's involved, you got to give thanks in and for all things because God is involved. He's doing something. You may not like it, but He's doing something. So we're going to talk about that next week. And then in 3 weeks, we're going to talk about not only do you have to slow down, surrender up, but you got to soak it in. You got to soak it in. And just a little preamble to that. Baptism in the Greek means a piece of wood or a ship that is so waterlogged it can no longer float. It's saturated. And we need to be saturated in the Holy Spirit. We need to be saturated by the water, the living water of Jesus Christ. So how do we do this? This week, I want to look into why we need to slow down. You know, we need to slow down. Every day, we need to take time and we need to slow down. And Jesus was the best example of this. So I think if Jesus did it, you need to do it, okay? I want to look at six things that Jesus did, at least six. He did a lot of stuff on this, but I want to look at least six things of where Jesus slowed down, okay? First of all, Jesus slowed down to prepare himself for a major task. And this starts in Luke 4, 1 and 2, and 14 and 15. This is when Jesus, right after he was baptized, right after he was saturated with the Holy Spirit, it says that, full of the Holy Spirit, he returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. And we know what happened in that story. He won because he was full of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus went out into the wilderness. Now, and he was in solitude. He slowed down. Said he was hungry. He didn't eat for 40 days. He slowed down. You know, a lot of times when we slow down, we get into solitude, we think, well, Jesus should just surround me and everything should be good and my mind should be peaceful and la, 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 you know, and I should skip and sing and everything should be happy. A lot of times when you slow down, get into solitude, that's when the enemy wants your mind. Because he knows that if you focus on God, if you focus on Christ, if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to go out in the world and you are going to kick his butt. And he knows that. So he was going to do everything that he can. He did everything to Jesus. But it says that Jesus returned to Galilee, what? In the power of the Spirit, after being in solitude, after battling the enemy, in that time, he returned in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside, and he taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He came out of that with more power than he went into it with. See, a lot of times we think, well, boy, Jesus was filled with the Spirit. He went, he fought the devil, and he came out, and man, he, you know, whoa, we're just happy that he won. No, he didn't just win. He came out victorious. He came out with power. He came out doing miracles. He came out to the point where people were praising him because of his wisdom, because of his power, because of his ministry. And so many times when we get into solitude, we just think, oh, man, the devil's, you know, oh, I'm so tired. I got to go out and get away from this because I'm getting my rear cut. No, Jesus stayed there until he won. And sometimes you just got to stay there till you win. And there's a lot of ways to do that. We're going to talk about praising him. We're going to talk about listening to the right thing, reading the word, all of these things. You got to get the junk out and the good in. You know, garbage in, garbage out. Good in, good out, right? And so we got to remember that at all times. It's not always going to be easy, okay? You see, the second thing that we need to realize is Jesus took time to be alone. He took time of solitude. He took that time to slow down to recharge after hard work. And he set this example with his disciples. It says here in Mark 6, 30 and 32, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Jesus had sent them out in the power of the Holy Spirit, and they did miraculous things. They taught, they healed, they did all this stuff. They came back, and then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come to meet with me by yourself to a quiet place to get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. And shortly thereafter, the people found them. But they had that time of solitarity. They had that time of resting. You see, after hard work, you know, how many of us in the physical, we've been out planting, we've been out doing something, you just want to go sit in the shade, drink an iced tea, an iced coffee, a big old glass of water, whatever, and you just want to what? Rest. And that's the way Jesus was showing his disciples. That's the way he wants us to be. The third thing, and a lot of people are surprised about this, that Jesus drew away from people, that Jesus took a little bit of time to slow down, is to work through grief. Now, if you remember, John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. They were close. We don't have a lot of story, but families were close, okay? when Mary found out that she was going to give birth, she went over to see, okay, her relative. And John the Baptist, who was in his mother's womb with Elizabeth, the baby leapt when Mary came into there because there was such a spiritual bond there. God deposited the Holy Spirit in John the Baptist in a way that no other man at that point in time had ever had him. And Jesus and him grew up contemporaries. John the Baptist prepared the way for Christ. He was the prophet that prepared the way. He was the man. And when he was killed, beheaded by Herod because of an evil, terrible queen and her naughty little girl, when that happened, listen to this. It says, John's disciples came and they took the body and they buried it. And then they went and they told Jesus. And when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And I'm sure he grieved the death of his cousin, the death of someone close. You see, Jesus was so human, just like us. He realizes that sometimes we're going to grieve and we just need to take some time to be alone. We maybe need time to be alone with just one special person, but we need that time of solitary when we grieve. And the best person to grieve with is the Holy Spirit. He is. He knows. He is the Spirit of Christ. He knows everything that's going on in our lives. So Jesus grieves just like we do. And he says, look, you need to get away. You need to let this happen. You need to let my healing come. The fourth thing that we need to realize, we need to slow down before we make an important decision. How many of you have ever made an important decision hastily? Now don't take your hand down because you probably regretted it, right? Okay. We all do it. Some of us do it more than others, okay? Cindy's going to laugh on this one because, yeah, I'm like the poster boy for this one, okay? Before making an important decision, we need to slow down. Listen to this. Luke 6, 12 and 13. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. Now, listen to what he did the next morning. When morning came, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them, whom he also designated as apostles. Isn't that interesting? Jesus took time to slow down, took time to pray, took time to fill up with the knowledge of God, so the next day he could choose the 12 men who basically molded the church. Wow. Do you think maybe a decision like that need a little prayer? You see, God is showing us on everything. You know, if you're going to make a decision, you know, we upset a salesman one time, man. This guy had given us this pitch on this thing, and he'd worked real hard for quite a while. And, you know, got all said and done is, well, what are you guys saying? And Cindy, I was standing there before I could even get it out of my mouth because it was coming out of my mouth. But she was like, we got to pray on this. And the guy goes, what? Well, why do you got to pray on it? And then I said, we pray on everything like this. I'm not going to jump into something like this without prayer. And then the guy cinched the deal for us. He said, well, fine, you go pray to whatever God you need to. And I went, oh, I wanted to hit that guy in the face. Man, you just dissed my Jesus. And I said, well, I said, you know, don't call us. We'll call you, bro. I mean, hello? Boy, now that is not a very sensitive salesman. But we need to pray about everything. I got a kid. I got a friend. He does, and his kids got so tired of him saying, I got to pray about it. And one of his kids one time says, do you have to pray about everything? And he went, actually, yes. Because without prayer, I don't make very good decisions. We need to pray before making those decisions. The fifth thing is in a time of distress. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been praying more in the last couple months than I have, you know, for quite a while. We've had a little distress going on, haven't we? And we need to pray in the time of distress. If we go to Luke 22, 39 through 44, I just want us to look at 39, okay? Jesus says this. He went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He went out as usual. Jesus did this a lot, okay? We're going to touch on that a little bit. But he went to pray before he was arrested. And Jesus knew that the time had come. Jesus knew that he was going to go through the greatest trial he's ever faced. He knew that there was going to be distress. Just hours before he was arrested, he went to the Mount of Olives. And he went a short distance away from the other disciples, and he prayed. Because he was in such emotional agony, such physical agony, such spiritual agony, that he literally sweat blood. He was in distress. So the next time you get in distress, start praying. And if you think that, well, I don't know if I can handle this, I want you to do this. I want you to kind of move your hair a little bit, and I want you to take your hand and go across your forehead and look at it. Chances are it's going to be sweat, not blood. Jesus knows distress. And when he says that I will be there with you in your distress, he knows how to be there. We just have to ask him in. We just need to slow down. We just need to say, Jesus, this is more than I've ever handled before, or more than I've handled in a long time, and I need your presence. I don't know how many times that I've done this. I've just opened up today and say, Lord, I am overwhelmed. I am overwhelmed. And then I open up my devotion for the day, and it's exactly the scripture I need. How many of you? This has happened to all of us, hasn't it? It happens to all of us. And only God can do this. Only the Holy Spirit can do this. But we need to slow down long enough to be honest with him and then to go into the Word or listen to a song. Cindy and I, this was our 46th wedding anniversary yesterday. Isn't that awesome that she's put up with me for 46 years? She is an amazing lady. She really is. And we went down to Rapid and we ate at a kind of a nice place, you know. And they don't typically play Christian music. They play kind of a mellow country music that we kind of like, you know. And we're sitting there, and I finally said to Cindy, do you realize that almost every other song they're playing is a Christian song? We're on our date for our 46th wedding, and God just throws into the satellite mix of easy country all of these cool Christian, you know. What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Whoa! Only God does that. And I wasn't distressed at that time. I hadn't prayed, okay? But you see how God does that? If we're paying attention, God is always talking to us. We have this wonderful little bird that comes on every morning at 4 o'clock. Campbell, don't say it. Campbell, we've had to hide the bullets, okay? You know, and I'm pretty sure he's looking for a girlfriend or something. But every morning, 4 o'clock, chirp, 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 chirp. And, you know, I was getting a little irritated. And our next-door neighbor, after the storm, she says, isn't that wonderful that even after the storm, those birds are chirping? And he was the first one to chirp. He was. God's saying, hey, look, I'm taking care of the birds. You know, and you know what I started thinking? You rarely see an animal after a storm like that. You don't see. And I'm like, you know, God's going, oh, there's a bird. Nope, not that one. No, that, you know. Yeah. I mean, God is always there in our distress. We got to just stop, slow down, and start looking for him, right? Take time. The last thing I want to look at is Luke 5:16. This is an amazing scripture. I love this scripture because it reminds me of how human, but how godly and how perfect our Savior was. It says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Wow. Many times in Jesus' life, he spent time alone with the Father. He knew that he needed that time. He knows that we need that time. He knows that we need that quiet time. Cindy and I call it our quiet time. And sometimes you got to get real, real inventive, especially when you got kids, you know, around, stuff going on, phones, you know. It is, but it's so worth it. Jesus shows us by example how important it is for us to spend time alone with him so that we can be refilled, restored, refreshed, and rejuvenated. And so that we can rejoice. A lot of re's. You know? We need it. And if it was necessary for the Son of God to do this, how much more important it is for us. It really is. So this week, I really do, I want you to take time to slow down And I know that things are starting to speed up again. So especially now when things are starting to get back to crazy normal instead of crazy not normal, okay? I want you to continue to take time and talk to God before you prepare for a major task. Talk to Him to recharge you after hard work. Talk to Him to work through grief. Talk to Him to make an important decision. Talk to Him in times of distress, and talk to Him about focusing on prayer. And on that note, let's slow down for a moment of prayer. Father, we come to You. And Lord, I know that each and every one of us has something on this list that's going on. And so I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, we just circle one of these things. And this week, Lord, we concentrate on slowing down and giving that up to You. Give it up to You every day. Lord, it might be a circumstance. It might be a relationship. It might be an internal problem or something, an issue we're working through. But whatever it is, Lord, I pray that we take time this week to focus on it and to let You focus on it, to let You speak to us, to let You show us, Lord, what we need to do, how we need to press into You closer. And Lord, give us ears to hear You because You're talking to us all the time. We thank You, Lord, for this time. We thank You for this word. And we pray that You will just saturate our hearts with it. In Jesus' name, amen.